Welcome to the Innovation Calling Podcast,
where we connect creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Aaron Greger
and Sia Yasotornrat.
Hey, it's Aaron Greger.
And it's Sia Yasotornrat.
And welcome to this very special episode of Innovation Calling, because we talked about it last week. And what happened this month in October 2019?
It's our 1 year anniversary, Aaron.
Yes.
Of Innovation Calling.
Yes, not 1 year of C and I together. That's what, 12 years or something?
Yeah, but good Lord.
But anyway, no, this is our first year of Innovation Calling. So we wanted to take just a moment and use this episode to really reflect and kind of what was good learning points for us and what's on the horizon for next year. Because I know the things I've learned this year is really making me think about what I want us to be talking about next year. Because we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Absolutely. So if you take a step back, do you remember why we started this podcast, Aaron?
I do. I very much remember. It was our tagline to connect creators to the next big thing, but really put companies on awareness. The reason was we saw so many people trying to go to South by Southwest to get noticed. That was really the kicker, to find talent, to find partners. And when you go to events like that, you spend a lot of money to get lost in a crowd. And we wanted to create a platform that could elevate those companies, showcase them, and hopefully connect people.
Absolutely. And do you think a year later we've succeeded in our mission?
I know we've specifically made connections, but I know there's a long way to go.
Exactly. That's kind of, I didn't think a year later we would have, when we were doing the summary video of all the different people that we've spoken with and the company varieties, the industry, the variety around that, I noticed that they were all still very much in keeping true with our podcast. They're innovators in different ways. And it doesn't necessarily mean one was better than the other. So what I've learned is this is exponential of what we're doing. And there's no stopping. There's no concern of, well, where's my next content?
Oh my gosh. No, we've got so many more people to talk to.
No, I know. And the thing I first learned though, because I actually listened to some of our earlier episodes.
I don't want to, but
it's like we've given this advice to even our own clients, is don't go into doing podcasting and expect that you're going to sound like Joe Rogan. Right. You're right. Not. He's an actor background, so he's already natural. But secondly, he really developed his interview style. If you listen to Joe Rogan day one versus now, it's you could see it and hear it.
Right.
Similar to us. And yeah.
We're
that's
closer
exciting.
To you, Joe Rogan. But we're
coming
there's only
you.
One Joe Rogan. And then there's only one Sia and Aaron.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So lessons you've learned. Would love to hear some. Maybe we're a year into talking to some pretty smart people, seeing some amazing things. What would you say one or two of your biggest lessons learned?
Two things. You really learn the world of, you learn preparation. And I feel at times you can tell in certain interviews or in episodes we've had where we didn't do as much as we could have or should have, and it shows. And I think that is something you'd learn over time. And for me now, I'm more intentional and more respectful of our guests' time with us. So preparation is one. Second thing is you sometimes have a preconceived notion of an individual when you're talking to them. And I've noticed this too over time. I had lost a lot of curiosity factor, and to listen and listen more and find the questions as it flows versus we have some pre-canned questions and let's go down that checklist.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's so hard to rely on that.
Yeah. So when I wrote this question, I was going for, so I kind of went a different direction than you did, because I was thinking of things I've learned from our guests.
Oh.
And I know for me, just really understanding, I can't say I understand the technologies more, but I understand use cases more, which I really appreciate from a perspective of all the emerging tech. Cybersecurity is pretty straightforward, but AI, blockchain. Now I can actually have semi-intelligent conversations about blockchain that I never could have had before. And from those perspectives, I really appreciate the understanding. I mean, just the most recent one we had about esports, I can actually, I would have sounded like an idiot to somebody who's actually been in that world, because we were just moving words to the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gaming and...
the term esports and e-gaming. Yeah. Gaming. Yeah. No, I completely understand. No, that is something that we can now be more entertaining at conversation with people.
Yes.
Because we have a broader understanding.
Yeah. So if any, if there's any reason to do a podcast to help.
Educate yourself.
Educate yourself. I mean, that's truly been one of the biggest things for me. How about what you've enjoyed the most of this year?
You know, meeting amazing people. I have always known that I've been attracted to intelligent people. And these folks that we've interviewed take it to the next level of intelligence because they're actually applying their intelligence that's going to shape our world. And it's almost like, I feel like a groupie in a way because, you know, I'm a big music person. It's almost like getting to know the rock band and the musicians behind it. And now, yeah, I'm attending the concert. Now I'm going backstage and actually hearing them create the music. That's what I'm enjoying the most.
Okay. Mine was, I have to say, so before we did this podcast, I've had other podcasts. I've never done live podcasting events. Oh. And I think those have been my favorite, just A, from the event experience, but B, from the learning experience. I feel very excited to help create those playbooks for women who are coming up and coming. So we're talking about the Women in Tech Leadership series, because every time I sit and we have those conversations with those women, I'm just thinking, man alive, I know I've said this many times before, but I wish I would have known this. I wish I would have known this 20 years ago. So there's the live perspective, just getting to meet people who listen. And it's still hard to get used to people say, oh, I listened to your podcast. And I know this is what we do. We should be very used to that statement, but it always makes me a little like, oh, did you like it? Was it okay? Is it? But to be able to experience it in that live format, connect with the people who actually are listening, and then create that format to allow others to connect.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll go back to Facebook. You had access to somebody very high up at Facebook, and we had young kids taking advantage of that opportunity. We had people of all stages of a career being able to ask her all sorts of questions. How much access do you get like that on a daily basis? And just to see people taking notes, all of that. And like I said, every single interview of those have been, you have so many nuggets to take out of there and truly drive your career as a woman, as a man. It doesn't have to be just women. Like, you can understand, okay, how do I advance my career? How do I take control of a business? How do I do these things in, from a leadership perspective? And I love those interviews. I have to say, I don't want to say I have favorites. I don't have favorite kids. I do have a favorite dog, but I think these are my favorite.
You know, no, and I know who your favorite dog is too. And I really want that dog, but
it's okay.
Wanted that dog back in the day. I love him to death. But the energy in the room.
Yeah.
And you could see the inspiration of the audience, but the guests too. Even not in front of an audience, although I'm a huge advocate. If you've got a podcast, anybody, definitely do some semblance of a live gathering. Because it really does build a community. And it also keeps a pulse on if you're asking questions that people care. Because sometimes I think podcasts happen in a vacuum. And I think that's one of the biggest complaints about podcasts is, Aaron, Saturday Night Live. Okay.
Yeah.
They did this skit with David Harbour, who, by the way, I love him. But there's this perception that podcasts are meant for just the podcasters themselves as some kind of narcissistic activity. And that's not the case, right? No one really intends to do that. But that being said, I enjoy is some of our guests are not used to being talked to, especially in a podcast type format. And you can see their eyes light up themselves of the energy of the excitement of I'm sharing what I'm trying to do to change the world.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy because you can see we've been doing a bad job of this, Aaron. We don't do pictures before and after. I know people keep asking us to do a video, but I have a face for radio. Let's just put it that way. Face for podcasting, not even radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I have to say, because podcasting does sometimes feel, you're seeing, you're getting downloads, you get some reviews. So you start seeing some feedback, but you still feel like you're talking to a black hole.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really like about the live events is that you get that feedback. And like you said, how can I this is our job to be better at what we do. And having that instant feedback allows us to do that. All right. On the horizon, we're booking guests. We're looking for people we want to feature. What are some aspects that are important to you as we're creating content for year two?
So we've talked about the buzzwords. So we're talking about, AI, right? Or VR, XR, et cetera. It's interesting. Now it's almost like, okay, 2019 for us has been introducing these concepts. I think 2020 is now we're going to take it to the next step. And when I say next step, what I'm saying, though, is, for example, AI as a service. Now we're taking the concept and applying it in a way where there is going to be a new path to market as a service deliverable. Whereas AI before was just a product, if you will. And that's something that I find very interesting because that's going to continue shifting and evolving what we view these buzzwords that we've been talking about. The whole idea with 5G becoming much more prominent, and this is going to feed into a podcast that we're about to record, which I'm super excited for, but United States needs to get on board with 5G deployment. The rest of the world has already implemented some degree of 5G. And we're not talking about AT&T, pretending that they've got 5G or Verizon saying 5GE, which is not even the case. It's actual 5G to allow IoT devices and machine-to-machine, connections and really becoming a true connected society that we've been talking about. That, to me, is going to be 2020.
So to that point, I've really been thinking a lot about this and what's kind of been bugging me about these buzzwords. And what's been, and I've talked very candidly too about how I've seen it firsthand. There's a lot of BS. There's a lot of sales speak.
We love Salesforce.
We love Salesforce. There's a lot of things happening out there that as companies, you've got people buying products who really don't understand necessarily technology. You've got a lot of buzzwords getting thrown out there and people thinking that they need certain things. You see a lot of startups, and this is, I'm not calling out anyone who's been on our show or anything, but my gosh, you throw on, and we're doing cybersecurity and AI and IoT, and we're doing this, and they throw buzzword, 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 buzzword. And I mean, investors are eating this up, and there's no proof of concept. There's no proof that it's actually truly AI that they're using, right? Like, there's a very fine line of AI. A pre-programmed machine doing exactly what you've told it to do is not AI. Yet, there's a majority of people out there selling AI because they may make and prove the system based on feedback, but that is not AI. And people are buying it. So I feel like we have this responsibility to slowly start pulling back the curtains. I've had a lot of conversations with people about this off of obviously this podcast and just talking about what is AI technology really look like? What does this mean? Do you really need it? Do you really need any of these other blockchain? Do you really need blockchain? And how many people are actually implementing blockchain in a business case format, seeing results? And that's, I really want to start pulling back the curtains and not calling BS on people, but truly helping people understand what these terms mean. So you can call BS on the technology people that are in your sales pitch right now trying to sell you on it and just say, do I really need this? First of all, are you really selling it? Secondly, and how can I become a better consumer as I look with companies to partner or to purchase from?
Exactly. So again, we see this mistake that a lot of CIOs make is, a president, she may come up to the CIO and say, I heard that blockchain's the next best thing, implement it. And then the CIO, CTO look at each other like, this doesn't apply, but there's pressures to provide it and make it happen. And I think I've seen it time and time again where they're like, let's just buy this product that's got the buzzword blockchain in it, whether it doesn't have it or not. And that to me is a waste of money, like a lot of waste of resources and time. I won't call BS on it. I would just say it would reprioritize that particular product for whatever projects that need to be implemented. So if, let's say, for example, you've got this software application that's going to manage multiple applications across your enterprise, for example, it may have the ability to automate, But the reality is, well, what exactly are you automating? Because are these self-standing applications that this overhead platform is going to make your life better? Or is it going to make it harder and worse?
Well, exactly. And these companies are, it's getting shoved down their throat. Innovate or die, innovate or die, innovate or die. And so people are kind of running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Like, we got to innovate. We've got to do all these amazing things, but they really don't understand what they're even doing. And innovation is not something that should be done for the sake of innovating.
No, because that's true.
I mean, Sia, I watched a company pour $1 million down a drain of waste because they purchased the wrong technology, realized it after the purchase was made, and walked away from it. So it bugs the crap out of me. And so that's where I look at our podcast and say, how can we help these companies do better? And maybe they don't care. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of companies, $1 million is a drop in a bucket and they don't care. But as a shareholder, that made me very angry.
No, I mean, I remember that day that you came in, Aaron.
I was mad.
You were livid. And you're like, I've just wasted my time. We've wasted all of our time because one individual decided to make a decision.
And they bought AI and it wasn't even AI.
I know it. So, Aaron, there's one thing that we haven't talked about. And it just popped up in my head. So I see the look in your eyes and you're like,
scared about this.
Going off script. That's what I'm going to do. There's a couple things I'd like to highlight from our guests because it's been such an extraordinary year for so many, for different reasons. So the first and most recent one is, talk to me about your thoughts about Adele Archer, Aaron.
Our new Shark Tanker So what I love to do is go through magazines and see who's up and coming. And that's how we were able to meet Adele. And I love their product.
Company name is?
Eterniva. And they create diamonds from ashes or hair of your loved ones. And I love this idea because, as we've talked about this before, I haven't lost anyone close. I mean, we won't go there, but I've lost some dogs and I've been trying to figure out, what do I do to remember them? Because I throw that. I mean, by the time what do I do? Keep the ashes? And my kids are like, yeah, this was my crazy dog mom's dog from 20 years ago. I don't want these stupid ashes. And I've just been trying to figure out, like, how do I memorialize them? And I love that company. And they were just featured on Shark Tank, got a investment from Mark Cuban. So it's cool. We kind of brought it around to Dallas. Not that we did anything for it. I think it was our interview. 100%
credit. 100% credit.
I think our interview sold Mark Cuban. But I mean, I know he's an avid listener.
But when I saw her on TV, I don't have a background in finance, so I had to pause the video to understand what kind of offers are going back and forth. I couldn't go as fast as they were throwing numbers. I'm like, I don't understand what just happened here. But she just nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's a smart cookie.
Very smart cookie. And so I almost want to say, damn it, bring her back, because I feel like we didn't do her justice. But another one. So Ed Marks, he was actually our first release. Ed, thank you, and so sorry, because you are our first rough draft, but thank you for being so incredibly gracious and humble. But the thing about Mark, or Ed at the time, was he had a very active duathlon competitor. He competes for the United States, okay? The man is constantly running, and he had a heart attack, a mild one, thank goodness. I think it was, but he had a heart attack, and it slowed him down, made him reevaluate life. He's been writing on a blog, so I think it's out in the open, but he also got diagnosed with cancer this year.
Oh, I did not know that.
And he's fought it, and he's, I believe, in remission right now. And he's running again, competing again. And I just want to talk about him in this context. He is a leader of the Cleveland Clinic, great, huge organization. And one of the things that he's often written about is how amazing his team is. And when we focused on him, it wasn't so much about the technology at Cleveland Clinic. It was more about leadership and the role of a CIO. And I thought that was such a great tone setter for the rest of our podcast, because it helps me realize we've talked to a lot of executives, Aaron, and they're all human. They all have their own styles of leading. And I just want to give props to Mr. Ed Marks, because he's gone through a lot and shining every step of the way, very humble, very gracious, and still striving to challenge himself through everything. So that's another highlight I kind of want to bring back from our past guests.
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It was, if you think about it, over a year ago.
Yeah.
Especially when, by the time we published, we actually interviewed him earlier that year.
Wow. No, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah, like you say, almost 2 years ago. So, Aaron, I guess question for you then is, you know, we talked about where we're taking next year and our vision. What do you envision us in the next year from a, just a pure podcast perspective?
I don't know if I understand the question.
I mean, innovation calling, people keep asking me, well, what's next? What's next? So what do you think the next is?
As I mentioned, more pull back the curtains, helping people understand. That's a big one to me. From a community perspective, I've thought a lot about this too. And how do we actually make those connections happen versus an email here and an email there? Hey, can you guys connect me with this person? We're doing this. How do we take that to a next level? You have to be very careful when creating community because you don't want to open up, hey, we've got access to this person up here. Now any Joe Schmo with an idea can come access that person. How do you protect that?
Right.
Respect it, yet create value from it. And I feel like that is going to be our job to figure out that next level of creating that, making that mission come more to reality for us of being able to connect people. You know, you heard about a job, you heard at this company on, you know, maybe Bitdefender as an example. I'm thinking of our trip out to California. So maybe you heard about Bitdefender and you're like, wow, this is really amazing what they're doing. I want to get more involved in the cybersecurity realm, or I think I could add value to them. Right now, what is it? You email us or you go up to bitdefender.com and look up their careers and see what you can find. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do we take that? And I don't want to become a staffing agency or anything like that.
No, we are not a staffing agency.
No, yeah. And that's not where I want to go. But how do we help create those connections? And I don't have an answer for you for that, but that's in my thoughts. We'll put it that way.
But isn't that the fun part? We're evolving and we're constantly, I'm being treated us to listen to this next year and probably go, idiots, this is what you guys are really thinking. You know, it's fun. It's growing. It's evolution.
Yeah, 100%. So. All right. Well, we want to thank everyone who have listened to us over this past year, who have been with us. If you have ideas, if you have people you want to hear us talk to, we would love to hear from you. So info@innovationcalling.com is where you can email us to give us any of that information. We are all ears. We want to connect. Also, make sure you rate and review us on your favorite podcast player, whether that be Apple or Spotify. We are officially everywhere now. Took us a while, but we got there. We are officially everywhere now. So thank you again for everyone who listens, who's been a part of our journey. We're only in the beginning, and we want to thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. And I guess that wraps it up for our first summary of Innovation Calling.